This is The Edge with Jonathan Von Tobel and Matt Eumanns on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's up? Welcome into another fabulous edition of The Edge. Matt Eumanns and JVT here with you, kind of matching. We both got polo shirts on.
Yeah, we did not talk about this.
No.
We don't coordinate the clothes.
I kind of did it on purpose because I was like, I know Eumanns has a shirt that's similar to this. I just had a, I'll tell you this really quickly because we have a big Thursday night matchup to discuss in the Mountain West. My wife told me she was throwing out ideas for what for me to be Halloween. Luckily, they're not going to be here, so I don't have to dress up as anything.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, last year, I don't know if you remember, I came in as the lumberjack.
Yeah,
yep,
I do recall
remember that.
I
had the fake beard and everything.
Wes Reynolds thought you were making fun of him.
Right, the plaid. It looked like I was from Indiana. She told me I should be you. Told me I should dress up as you, not tell you, and then show up, and I could look just like you. Put my hair down, off to the side, wear the polo. I mean, it'd be good. We'd look identical. Get the black striped sport coat, whatever it is.
It's a good idea by Isabel.
And then you can do your hair like me. You can be me. What do you think?
You know what? I've never put product in my hair in my life, and I think that something tells me that you spiked that up with some sort of gel before you come in. How do you get it to stand up like a wave?
Get out of the shower, blow dryer. You got a blow dryer.
Never used a blow dryer either.
Put the spritz in, and then you form it.
Really?
Looks pretty good, right?
Okay, yeah.
You know what else looks pretty good?
Looks great.
The Rebels tonight against San Jose State. No, we
Thursday night football in Las Vegas.
Right, homecoming.
Actually, there is some betting interest in that game. We'll talk about the college schedule later. But how about Broncos and Browns? And did you see it's raining all day in Cleveland?
Yes.
And what a surprise.
With the injuries coupled with the weather, I think that's why we have a total that's down to 40.5. But the more intriguing side here is the side. The Browns, -1.5 now. Remember, on the look ahead and at the open, they were a 6-point favorite in this game.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. We know that both the starting, you know, the top two running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, aren't going to play.
And that's a big deal.
It is. And we know that Baker Mayfield is not going to play. However, Matt Eumanns, it is not bleak for the Cleveland Browns. You and I have noted that Case Keenum, of course, was under Kevin Stefanski when the Vikings made that miracle run to the NFC Championship game. He's their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He's got experience in this system. Two of the three offensive linemen on the injury report, J.C. Treader and Wyatt Teller, are going to play today. So you get your starting center and your left tackle back, right? So that's a pretty solid sign. And, by the way, Conklin hasn't officially been ruled out, so maybe you get him at right tackle.
Right.
All of the defensive linemen who are on the injury report, the key ones, Malik Jackson, Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett, they're all going to play today. And two out of the three corners that were on the injury report are going to play. And Jarvis Landry was activated today.
Yeah.
So we have all of these injuries, but at the same time, it's not the worst picture in the world, which leads me all the way to the point of, I don't think the Browns are a terrible side here tonight.
Yeah, this is kind of a cliche we talk about a lot of times, but it's true in the stock market and sports. It's buy low on the Browns. I think that's what you're getting tonight at -1.5 right now. And actually, at some spots, you can lay one.
Yep.
I see Caesars William Hill has one on this game. Now, it looks like Odell Beckham Jr. might miss tonight. I know I watched NFL Network all morning. He's trying to get ready to play the game tonight. There's a little bit of concern about a wet field and whether or not Jarvis Landry should come back when he's returning from the injury on the wet field tonight, but I expect to see him out there. So the Browns, without their main two running backs, are going to be a little bit different team without Chubb, without Hunt. Now, I don't think there's a drop-off from an injured Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum. That's the thing. Kenny White said it's a 4-point drop-off from Baker Mayfield to Keenum. But we're talking about a banged-up Baker Mayfield who's not been playing that well.
He's had one arm for a game and a half.
Yeah, the last couple weeks. So I don't think there's a drop-off at all to Case Keenum. I wouldn't even say 1 point. In fact, Keenum might give you a better shot to win tonight than a banged-up Baker. So I think the biggest difference in the Browns' offense is going to be your two stud running backs are not there, and how can you compensate for that? I think the Browns have decent running back depth, and the fact their offensive line's in better shape is going to help. You got receivers back, Landry and Odell, if he can play. That's going to help Keenum. And don't forget, on the Broncos side, that's a team that's banged up with a lot of injuries, too. And Teddy Bridgewater has been limping around all week with a foot injury.
Yep.
Now, the reports are the last couple days he's looked a little bit better on the foot, but still, I'd agree with you. I think you're buying low on the Browns here at -1.5.
And here's the thing, and there's the other aspect of this as well, because you mentioned Teddy Bridgewater, and this is a matchup that I think is very much worth looking at, which is we're going to get Malik Jackson, we're going to get Jadeveon Clowney, we know that Myles Garrett is going to play. By the way, another feather in the cap of the Cleveland Browns. They had a players-only meeting on defense the other day. That always helps, right? That always helps. But in reality, really, Teddy Bridgewater this year, humans, he's been under pressure on 38.8% of his dropbacks. Nearly 40% of his dropbacks, he's been considered under pressure, and he's been awful under pressure. You're talking about three turnover-worthy plays, just 6.1 yards per attempt, right? About 64% completion, barely getting the ball out. Like, this is something that I'm pretty interested in, and it's not only just buying low on Cleveland and looking at all the injuries and kind of realizing if you sift through the reports that, you know, the injury report's lengthy, but a majority of these guys are still going to gut it out and play today. But it's also the other side, which is it's a pretty poor offensive line, below average offensive line in front of Teddy Bridgewater, who is struggling under pressure. And now you get arguably one of the best pass rushers, if not the best pass rusher in the National Football League, along with two premium pass rushers in Malik Jackson and Jadeveon Clowney. Like, I think that matchup works really well in favor
of Cleveland. Yeah, it does, obviously. The Browns are going to have a matchup advantage against a lot of teams with that defensive line. And you're right about that, too. Here's these numbers on Teddy Bridgewater on the road and as a dog are remarkable. It doesn't impact the way I look at tonight's game or how it handicapped the game, but it's worth mentioning. As an underdog against the spread in his career, Teddy Bridgewater is 24-7. As a road dog, he's 19-2. How do you explain that? How's a guy 19-2 against the spread as a road dog? That doesn't mean I'm going to bet the Broncos tonight. In fact, I don't care about it, but I think it's just a talking point to keep in mind when you look at Teddy Bridgewater, why he's been so good in that role last week. In the home favorites role, the Broncos came out flat.
Yep.
They were terrible. By the way, this total opened 43.5 down to 40 at a lot of spots, and I think that makes sense when you look at the weather conditions in Cleveland today. Like I said, I was watching the NFL Network all morning, and it's just a steady downpour in Cleveland. And these offenses, you would think, are not going to light it up tonight. So what are you thinking in this game?
The weather
20-17.
So I'll say this.
Yeah.
The weather turns me off a little bit from this. I actually thought this might be a higher scoring game than the market's getting it credit for.
Really?
Because look, like, I think that Myles Garrett and company will be able to have success and pressure Teddy Bridgewater. There are also two defenses that over the last couple of weeks have kind of been getting lit up.
Oh, right? They have been.
Right.
Well, Derek Carr and the Raiders definitely lit up the Denver defense last week. Jeez.
Yeah. And so, like, when you're looking at it from that perspective, you know, I get the reaction to all the injuries. It's Thursday night, the weather report. But I was kind of, I thought it was going to be Browns and over, and that's, you know, the chalky side of favorite and over. But at the same time, we're down as low as 40.5, and I'm buying a low on a team that was won 6-point favorites right a couple of days ago. That was the thinking for me there. But nowhere near as strong on the total as I am that I'm going to be buying low on the Cleveland Browns tonight, I think.
Yeah, I like to side a little bit better than the total. To me, the total is kind of a guess. I mean, you could have a defensive score. You could have a couple short fields set up by turnovers.
Yep.
Who knows what's going to happen. For me, it's tough to bet under low totals of 40 because one or two fluke plays could put that over. Just look at Sunday night. Sunday night football looked like a dead under between the Seahawks and the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
You got a couple turnovers. Before you know it, the game gets to overtime.
Knew it the whole time.
23-20.
I was feeling it.
Goes over the total. What's that?
I said I was feeling it the whole way. Had over that 42.5. I knew it the whole time.
Okay. And Lou Finocchiaro.
No luck whatsoever.
Lou Finocchiaro had the over. He tweeted, that was the wise side or something like that. It was the lucky side.
There is some facetiousness in my
I think it is, but he was serious.
Yes,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Really quickly, we mentioned the Case Keenum connection in 2017 under Kevin Stefanski, just to give you those numbers. 11-3 as a starter in those 14 games, 67.6% completion, 3,500 yards, 22 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, and a quarterback rating, QBR, it's the ESPN's metric, of 72.8. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
I think Kevin Stefanski knows how to call plays that work for Case Keenum. These guys have had a long relationship and actually had a lot of success together a few years ago. So I kind of like, you know, if you're making a Browns bet, I kind of like the move to Case Keenum here because Baker Mayfield, when he was banged up, just not getting it done.
Yep. Well, it's also, we should also factor in.
Isn't this what Case Keenum does best anyway? Come off the bench in relief. He's like a star relief pitcher who's done this his entire career. So he's going to have a lot of confidence too.
Yeah, like after one decent year, overpay him, sign him to a contract extension, and start him an entire season like the Broncos did. Maybe not so much.
Right.
But bring him in off of the bench and pay him as, you know, a solid quality backup quarterback and ask him to come in relief for a couple of games while Baker Mayfield mends. I think that is totally the role that you want him in. Hell, I mean, it's the reason why he was a starting quarterback for the Vikings that year, right? He came in a relief. He only played 14 games.
Exactly.
And sure enough, for a good stretch.
Yeah, I think the Vikings won 12. They were 12-3 that year, including the playoffs, right?
Yeah, including the playoffs, right. And he had the Minneapolis Miracle and all that good stuff, and he had Stephon Diggs, but he made it work. And again, these are two guys that have been together before. All right, really quickly, a reminder, the NBA season is underway, obviously. We had 13 games already played. But there's still time to grab your copy of the VSiN Pro Basketball Betting Guide. Some teams, like the Clippers, will play tonight, still haven't even played a game yet. Our hoops experts, including myself, provide strategy and advice, as well as predictions for conference winners, win totals, playoff teams, and player awards. Digital guide is a must-have, so give yourself a betting edge this season. Get your copy now for only $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe.
You know why we talk basketball on this show?
Because I like it.
A lot of people like to bet it. And you and Aaron Renning, especially good at handicapping the NBA. Last night, Aaron Renning went 8-0 in his NBA bets, and I think you swept the board as well.
I did. So, look, it was a good night. It's a long season, but ER and I were texting each other throughout because we also ended up on the same side. He ended up taking a little bit of the Kings late last night, too. So, we were lamenting Luke Walton and the fact
that he bet the Kings. He hates Luke Walton.
Oh, Luke, I mean, they almost blew it last night.
VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get points spread weekly. We've got all our best bets in college football and the NFL in there this week as well.
That's right. And, by the way,
VSiN.com/JVT.
Yes, yeah. VSiN.com/JVT. Check that out. All of my written work. And VSiN.com/podcast. New episode of Hardwood Handicappers up today. Will Hill, VSiN contributor.
All right. I like Will Hill.
Was with us, discussed his NBA betting philosophies, and also took a look at tonight's card and tomorrow's headliners in the NBA. We'll come back. We have plenty left to get to. Jimmy Ott's going to join us in 15 minutes. It's The Edge.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, this is going to be a pretty cool deal and an opportunity to showcase your handicapping skills and win a big amount of money here. The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Again, that's November 5th to the 7th. Visit vsin.com/SBNC for Sports Betting National Championship. For more information, learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. Again, that's vsin.com/SBNC.
Did you see the news in the NBA about Karl Anthony Towns' new pregame ritual?
Yeah, I think he watched his video of gorillas fighting to get fired up for the game. Is that accurate?
Two gorillas fighting to the death.
To the death.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if it's the same video or if he finds like different videos. He's the same one over and over again.
There's a lot of wild animal videos you can watch, including some of King Cobras.
Oh, you're a big King Cobra guy.
Yeah, boy, those are nasty animals. Would not want one for a pet.
Speaking of a nasty animal, handicapping the NBA regular season on a day-to-day basis. Bam, that's a really good segue. So yesterday was the full slate. We had 11 games in the association last night. And I thought some pretty fascinating results and really good games. I know one that you were watching and America was watching because it was broadcast on ESPN.
The Mecca.
The Mecca, the Garden.
It was
Garden,
electric last night.
The Mecca. Energy, everything in between. The New York Knickerbockers doing their best, by the way, to blow the game at the end of regulation.
Oh, wow.
It was not the best execution defensively with less than 4 seconds left to go to.
I have to hate to admit this. Huh. But so we have the free NBA, what's it called, League Pass?
The League Pass preview, yeah.
Free preview on DirecTV. And the Knicks were up 4 with like 9 seconds left. I was like, yeah, this is probably over. So I flipped and I start watching a couple other games here and there on the League Pass. And I checked my phone. I was looking at scores. I'm like, what? Celtics Knicks is in overtime? So I had to flip it back and watch the rest of the game last night. Man, what a crazy game at the Garden. Two overtimes. Knicks 2.5-point favorites, 138 to 134, flies over the total of 220.
Yeah, it was one of the better games on the board. And how about this, too? Just as you expect, because the Knicks are the story, but Jaylen Brown, who was questionable, right, with COVID issues,
ends up
playing that game, scoring 46 points on 16 of 30. Shooting was 8 of 14 from beyond the arc. That dude's awesome. But I know Look, Julius Randle was most improved last year, and he's one of my question marks about the Knicks is, do you maintain what you did last year from a statistical standpoint? Because they were all career highs across the
Julius
board.
Randle was great in the regular season. He stunk in the playoffs.
He was.
But, yeah, he was. I'm a huge Julius Randle fan, by the way. The guy plays his butt off. He's one of those max energy guys who I think you have to appreciate because you got he's going to give you everything he's got every night. Now, I loved him when he played for the Lakers. I thought the Lakers were foolish to let him go. Of all that young talent they had at the time, I said, that's one guy who's always going to give you great effort. He's going to score and rebound, defend around the basket. He was doing all that last night for the Knicks.
35 points, 12 of 27 from the floor, hit all eight of his free throws, was two rebounds and an assist shy of a triple-double as well.
Yeah.
He was doing everything. And Evan Fournier with the revenge game against the Boston Celtics.
Yeah,
huh?
How about that?
Couldn't hit the broad side of a barn with him when he was there, but 6 of 13 from deep against him last night.
Yeah, he looked pretty good, too, knocking down threes. I'm still not sure how. I know that Marcus Smart hit a three at the buzzer, right? But how did the Knicks manage to blow a four-point lead in the last 9 seconds? Who missed a free throw?
I'll pull it up right now. It escapes my memory, but... The thing that killed them, obviously, was the shot at the end that allowed them to get within it. Julius Randle, let's see, he made the last two free throws, and then they just blew it on defense. 26-4, let's see, I don't know.
Nobody missed a shot?
It doesn't show it right here, at least at the end. Because you're talking about Robert Williams going 2-for-2 of the free throw line. Fournier had a layup. Jaylen Brown hit the three-pointer to make it a one-point game.
Okay.
And then,
okay,
of course, Randle makes both of his free throws at the end to make it three and then tied it up. So
you got back-to-back threes.
Yep, back-to-back threes. That's math for you.
Inside, do the numbers.
Right, that's right. Yeah, we do the numbers every week here. I'm a big analytics guy.
That was a hell of a game last night. That's the type of thing that gets people jacked up for the NBA season, too, especially Boston, New York. You watch your team.
Oh, primetime spot.
Yeah, right. That was a really good advertisement for watching and betting the NBA last night.
And there were a couple of games, right, that fly under the radar because they're probably not going to be bet as much because they're not on TV unless you have right league pass like you were talking about.
I watched every game in the league last night, at least a little bit of every game.
Welcome to my world, man. What was it like?
It's cool. Right? I like it. I'm not going to buy the league pass for the whole season, but I did watch as much as I could last night. I thought the San Antonio Spurs looked surprisingly good last night.
They're undervalued.
That's a team I think could be a little bit of a sleeper in the West. That was my immediate analysis of the Spurs.
Oh, their win total is only 29.5.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you're talking about six teams with win totals under 30, and you were talking Oklahoma City, Houston, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, Orlando, excuse me, who they were playing, right? Like all of these teams, which are awful. And then you have the Spurs, like mixed up in that group for some reason. And they're a pretty solid team, like an average team. And I think it shows that they're in a different stratosphere where they could beat the crap out of a team like the Magic last night, 123-97.
Yeah, I mean, Magic stink. That's obvious. But still, the Spurs put it on them last night. And then 7-point favorites won the game 123-97. And just if you watch the game, Spurs got a lot of good young talent. Again, a bunch of guys who play hard. With a lot of energy, and I think there's an upside there for San Antonio.
But I think one of the storylines from last night, the low-key storyline, was some of the betting numbers, especially when it came to that late-night game against Portland and Sacramento. It was pretty interesting because it was one of those situations where in the morning, humans, I bet Sacramento +5. I was like, all right, cool. Like, yeah, I think I got the best of the number. And then I come in to work here, and it gets up to 7. When I'm sitting out in the parking lot looking at what happened, apparently there was a group play on Portland -6, gets to 7, ultimately closes 6.5. And the Trailblazers don't even sniff a cover in that game. They're trailing right out of the gun. They never really take the lead back, going by like 9 points throughout. Ultimately, Sacramento almost blows it. Tyrese Halliburton, they have a three-point lead. He fumbles the ball in an inbounds.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard takes it, lays it up, one-point game. They have a shot to tie it, but ultimately doesn't fall. So the Kings end up winning 124-121. But that was an interesting game just because the market was pretty strong on the Portland Trailblazers for a certain extent, and then all of a sudden they don't even come out. But I think the big takeaway is Portland's got issues on defense. Mm-hmm. Again, this year, they're going to be a poor defensive team. And I think from now on, they're just going to be this team where the market has a certain perception of them because they have Damian Lillard, when in reality, this is a team that is going to struggle because they are so poor defensively.
And the totals are going to reflect that. I don't think you're stealing anything. The total last night was around 235, and it was 245 points scored in the game. But that's what the Blazers are going to be. I think an entertaining team to watch, plays high-scoring games. I'm a huge Damian Lillard fan, too. But you're right, the Blazers. I think I picked the Blazers as maybe the last seed in the West. I think maybe the 8th spot, just because I like Lillard so much, and I think he can elevate that team to be better than it really is. The Blazers just are so weak on the defensive end of the floor that That's their big issue. All right, so we got three games tonight, and I think the best matchup is Clippers-Warriors on the West Coast. Golden State, three-and-a-half point favorite, total 227.5. You have not seen much movement at all in the numbers.
No, it's been sitting there going back and forth between three and a half, and we get the Warriors off of their win on Tuesday night over the Los Angeles Lakers, in which Steph Curry messed around, got his triple-double, wasn't really that great.
It's one of the least impressive triple-doubles you're going
to
see.
I think so, and he even spoke to that after the game.
This is a good feeling. You know, we had a lot of excitement coming in the season. The new cast of characters mixed with our core, and we weathered the storm tonight. Obviously, I played like trash, shot the ball terribly, but if we can win a game like that where we create some good shots and just stuck with it defensively against a pretty good team and get a win like that, that's a good omen for us.
Did play like trash, kind of.
5-21 from the field, 2-for-8 from three, had 4 turnovers. But he did get the 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 21 points for a triple-double. But 2-for-8 from three and missing 16 shots from the field, 16 of the 21 shots from the field. But the positive is the Warriors still had enough to get the win on the road against the Lakers. And I thought the Lakers were going to be a team to fade maybe in the first month. Who knows, maybe a little bit longer. But what do you make of the Warriors? Now, the Clippers don't have Kawhi. That's obvious. This is your team, the Clips, going into this season debut tonight, catching 3.5. Up in San Francisco. I was somewhat encouraged by what I saw out of Golden State the other night. Without Klay Thompson, I think they can win a decent number of games.
Yeah, well, and remember last year, this was actually a team that finished in the top 10 in defensive efficiency, too. Like, this was there were things to like about the Golden State Warriors.
I didn't realize that. Top 10?
Yeah, if you look at the non-garbage time minutes, they were really good in defensive efficiency last season, and Draymond Green was a really big part of that, too.
By the way, props to you. You played Andrew Wiggins under 19.5 points.
Got that information,
We said, what, he's going to be on a minutes restriction, play about 25 minutes. He played 26 minutes and had 12 points.
Yep. Yeah. Even went under the adjusted total, too. By the way, specifically fifth in defensive efficiency last season for the Golden State Warriors, 110.7 points allowed per 100 possessions. So, like, they're going to be a pain in the ass every night because they're going to be sound on that end of the floor. And at times, Steph Curry's going to have games, as we know, that he's going to be a Steph Curry-like, which led me to today. I don't know what we're getting out of the Clippers. There's no Nick Batum. There's no Serge Ibaka. I'm actually kind of surprised we're up to 228. I think given the fact that the Clippers might be a little limited offensively and the fact that this Warriors team can be as good as they can be on the defensive end of the floor, and the Clippers should be a good defensive team too, I'm surprised the market has gone from 226.5 to 228. I would expect that to get bought back here a little bit.
Is that one of your plays?
No, I have not bet this game yet. Okay. I do have a game for tonight, which we'll get to in best bets. That's in the other primetime game between Atlanta and Dallas. On the other side, though, let's get back to a little bit of football. Jimmy Ott's going to be with us. Let's find out a couple of things in terms of his best plays. We can talk a little bit about the South as well when it comes to football. It's The Edge.
You are looking to bet smarter on Saturdays. VSiN experts have you covered. We're tracking line movement, studying matchups, and finding value across all of college football every week. Whether it's betting the biggest rivalries or surprise underdogs, VSiN is on top of it from the early kickoffs to the Pac-12 after dark. Stay tuned to VSiN for the best college football coverage and get more at VSiN.com/subscribe.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This segment of The Edge is presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Zyn is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are a smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternative that can be enjoyed on the go, anywhere and anytime, so you never miss a minute of the game or the tailgate party. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint, coffee, and citrus, Zyn can be found at convenience stores nationwide, so you can find Zyn wherever you are. Zyn's nicotine pouches are clean and discreet with no lingering smell. Plus, it's easy to use indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Also, Zyn comes in two strengths, so you have control over your nicotine satisfaction. Zyn contains nicotine and is only for adult nicotine consumers 21 or older. Learn more and find your local retailer at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Matt Eumanns is here. I'm Jonathan Von Tobel. Let's head out to the phone line. Welcome in Jimmy Ott, host of Jimmy Ott's Game Time, ESPN 104.5 out in Baton Rouge. You can follow him on Twitter, Jimmy Ott 1045. Jimmy, what's going on? How are you, man?
Oh, man, another day in paradise here in Baton Rouge, man.
What's it been like down there for the last couple of weeks with Ed Orgeron's fate decided? He's going to be gone at the end of the season if he lasts that long. And this week, LSU faces Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, who Jimmy Ott thinks might be the next LSU coach. You still believe that?
Yeah, he's in the mix. I know this. He is lobbying hard.
Is he?
And okay. As long as Matt Corral's not in a body cast, I think he's going to try and play him because he wants to audition for his potential employer. He really has been, sending out his feelers for, to trying to put himself in position. James Franklin is the most qualified to this point, but Mel Tucker's name is being mentioned. That's too soon. Let's let him finish his first winning season. Right. Let's let Dave Aranda finish his first winning season in Waco first. I think they're both doing outstanding jobs this year, but it's 1 year. But Kiffin, if he could, he would recruit better over here. Keep in mind, the last three coaches at LSU won national championships, and, Miles and Orgeron are two of them. So, it can be done. So it's a coveted job, and Scott Woodward is not going to he's not going to penny pinch on this one. He's got a strong track record of hiring coaches from Sarkisian to Peterson at Washington to Jimbo Fisher and Buzz Peterson at College Station. And here we don't talk about women's basketball, but he got Kim Mulkey out of Baylor. So he swings for the fences. And, look, I've known Scott for 25 years. He's not talking to anybody right now. So very tight-lipped on this process. But I think Ogeron's relieved, and I think he's almost in a better place right now. And maybe he's his third interim tenure now. And, man, the team, there's a lot of opt-outs. We call opt-out quits now, but – the ones that were playing on Saturday against Florida were playing hard. And then this running game completely came out of nowhere with Ty Davis-Price. So, it's a strange game. I really liked Ole Miss in this spot leading up. But now that I saw LSU against Florida, I'm kind of perflexed on this spot Saturday.
Well, I think it's a difficult one to handicap. Right now, Ole Miss is a 9.5-point favorite, total of 76 or 76.5. And, Jimmy, if you don't know if Matt Corral is going to play, how do you fire a bet on this right now? And what do you think? Do you think Corral is going to be on the field? Do you suspect he will make it, give it a go?
Yes, I do. Okay. Now, listen, he doesn't need to be calling again, running the ball 30 times. Now, 20 were design runs and 10 were scrambles. But still, he's going to scramble 6, 7, 8 times a game. They run it way more. That's the misleading thing about Lane Kiffin's offense. We always see the passing highlights, but they run it almost 2-1, over passing plays. But they ran him a lot. Tennessee was so scared of getting beat over the top like Ole Miss did against Arkansas, where on third, Corral was unaccounted for on third down, and it was just easy conversion after easy conversion. But he took a pounding. But again, I think this one means something for Lane Kiffin a little bit more against LSU, knowing that he wants his job so bad.
Just quickly, I don't want to belabor this topic, but I think if I put up an odds board on LSU's next coach, I would make James Franklin the favorite. He had a lot of success in the SEC at Vandy. That guy's a dynamic recruiter, just like Kiffin. I'm sure they'd both win big there and recruit well. Would you make James Franklin the favorite or no?
No question. He's the most qualified, and so far right now, he's got the number three recruiting class working for early signing period in December. We know he pulled miracles. Didn't beat a ton of teams that have finished with winning seasons, but that's not going to be duplicated what he did at Vanderbilt. And, he's been to 3 New Year's Six Bowls. The one Big Ten championship when Fickell was there, he should be doing pretty good at Penn State with their resources. But the one that blows me away is James Franklin and Mel Tucker are both making the same amount of money, $5.5 million. That blows me away. So, $5.5 million. The only thing that stinks a little bit, USC's open, James Franklin. LSU's about to open, James Franklin. Well, that reeks of an agent throwing his name out to sweeten the pot. And Lord knows they need to sweeten the pot in Happy Valley.
Jimmy Ott with us. All right, Jimmy, let's go down the board to some games that are on your radar. Get your thoughts on them. First up, Tennessee and Alabama. We've actually seen the market move here in favor of Tennessee. Circa opened up first market at 29. We are down to 25.5 with a total of 67. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it's one of those games where Saban, may take his foot off the pedal when it gets late. But It's unfortunate that all of the attention is on what happened at the end of the Tennessee-Ole Miss game, because Josh Heupel has that place jumping again, and it was a great atmosphere until the end, and quietly has done one of the more surprising coaching jobs in this league. Nobody gave Tennessee any type of chance. I mean, this was doom and gloom from media days to pregame, and then when you saw him play early, they were nothing special. But Tennessee, Josh Heupel's done a good job with this team. He has to have Hooker healthy. Now, he's a game-time decision. You cannot go, I don't care what the spread is, put your money on with Milton. Man, my man runs out of bounds the last play of the game. Come on. I mean, so you cannot do that. So if Hooker is a go, I'd be willing to lean on, not a strong opinion, kind of might be decided in garbage time, but Hooker's got to go if you're going to play the Vols.
I remember when Milton was at Michigan before last season, one of the assistant coaches said in preseason practice he reminded him a lot of Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
Yeah, it didn't quite develop into that. No. Anyway, I agree. Hooker's been the quarterback for the Vols. Jimmy, we got about 3.5 minutes to go here. Let's get through some of your best bets as best as we can. I'm going to start with Pitt and Clemson. Pitt, a 3.5-point favorite, total of 48. This is the first time since 2016 that Clemson has been in the ACC, in the dog role in an ACC game.
You know, we just talked about Tennessee, that win at Tennessee. Didn't think so at the time, but a nice little win for Pitt. Very impressive on Saturday at Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, 28-0 before they took the foot off their gas. They're third in the country in scoring, 48 points a game, and even better at home at 56 at home. Pickett looks – this is a tale of two quarterbacks. Pickett looks so much more comfortable than DJ. And you know what? The stat I hate the most is scoring per red zone percentages. It's when you get in the red zone and you attempt a field goal, that's a fail. Well, no problem with Pitt. 44 possessions in the red zone, 40 touchdowns, only 4 field goals.
That's incredible.
By the way, they made them. But Clemson's brand is still creating value with their 0-6 ATS. I like Pitt in this spot at home to win comfortably on Saturday.
Jimmy Ott, ESPN Radio Baton Rouge, money on Kenny Pickett and Pitt in that game. How about a quick analysis here on Georgia Tech, Virginia, Cavs laying 6.5, and also BC Louisville with the Cards 5.5, 6-point favorites.
Yeah, Bronco, a couple of games in the ACC, a couple of 6-point favorites at home, and start off in Charlottesville where Bronco Mendenhall is pushing the pace with his left-handed quarterback, Brendan Armstrong, accounting for 414 yards a game. I mean, they are snapping it 83 times a game. That's second most in the NCAA. Way more consistent at quarterback right now than Sims, who's been up and down. He's a talent, but real up and down. I like Virginia a lot in this one, -6 at home against Georgia Tech. And then Louisville, this is more of a fade against BC. And I thought BC was a spot play against NC State. No, it wasn't. And, when they lost Jerkovich, the backup did okay. But, boy, they really exploited his limitations now. They did very little on offense. Louisville had a bye after close losses against aforementioned Virginia and Wake Forest. I like the Ville at home minus a short number as well.
All right, Jimmy, less than a minute to go. How about Okie State, Iowa State? You're laying 7 with the Cyclones, right?
5 times that the unranked team has been favored over the ranked team, only 2-3 this year, but you can make a case that you had a bad beat with Virginia Tech against Notre Dame and LSU against Auburn. 4 of those games this weekend, Wisconsin favored over Purdue, Iowa State over Okie State, UCLA over Oregon, and Air Force over San Diego State. Iowa State is only 1 of 2 teams to be in yards per play offense and yards per play defense, top 10 in the country. Cincinnati Bearcats, the only one. Oklahoma State can stay close with that 85-yard pick 6 and then to control the second half in Austin last weekend. But Iowa State more in a comfortable position instead of that top 10 ranking and all of those expectations. I like Iowa State.
Jimmy Ott also on UCLA -1. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the time, man.
Anytime. My pleasure, guys.
Best bets on the other side.
This is The Edge on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, last 15 here. But Humans, I forgot, has something to tell you.
Yeah, listen up, JBT. First Bet wants to get you ready for the Breeders' Cup with a chance to win $1,000 in free bets. Go to vsin.com/horses to enter for your chance to win. The grand prize winner will have $1,000 deposited into their account before Friday, November 5th. Just in time for the Breeders' Cup. There are plenty of runner-up prizes as well. So sign up today at vsin.com/horses. Terms and conditions apply. Again, go to vsin.com/horses for more information. And don't forget about vsin.com/JVT.
Right. No vsin.com/humans out there, huh?
No.
That's right. Just /JVT. I think it's like /Andy-McNeil if you want to go to Andy's page. But mine, sweet and succinct. All right, best bets. Let's roll through these because we have a lot to get to in the next 10 minutes. So we know that for the National Football League, put this in yesterday, the six-point teaser, Dolphins +8.5 against the Atlanta Falcons. Tease that up, 2.5-point underdog at home. And the Patriots down -2/-1 over the New York Jets. The additions for today, Colts +4.5 against the 49ers in Sunday night. You and I in agreement there. Take the four and the hook. Seahawks +4.5 at home against the Seattle Seahawks. Or excuse me, against the Seahawks, I'll take that. Against the New Orleans Saints. Just an inflated number here. It's pretty weird that after a cover in which Geno Smith looks okay, that this number decided to bump up about a point and a half, 2 points in favor of the Saints, who have had their own inconsistency issues. And then we will buy low on the Cleveland Browns tonight. You can lay ones out there, but I will lay 1.5 with Cleveland tonight against the Denver Broncos.
I kind of like that Browns bet tonight. I think Case Keenum is no downgrade from a banged-up Baker Mayfield, so I don't disagree with your Browns play. I'm probably going to play that as well tonight. I'm also on the Colts. I got +4 on the Seahawks. I got +5. I did play the Patriots, too, at -7, but I also played the Patriots on a teaser, Patriots -1. With Packers -2.5, is a little bit interesting yesterday that the Packers number dropped from 9.5 to at a couple spots as low as 7.5, mostly now 8. There's not a lot to like about the Washington defense. When you look, JVT, you go inside the numbers, it's hard to find positive numbers about the Washington defense. And Aaron Rodgers is on such a roll right now. I'm not sure why the money's showing up on Washington there.
Yeah, I would agree. Man, I hope you have a really good weekend.
Yeah, we have a lot of similar plays. Again, Patriots -7, Colts +4, Seahawks +5, and teaser on the Patriots -1, Packers -2.5. Let's get to college football. And I'm going to add some plays on this tomorrow. I thought there were going to be a couple numbers that might move in my favor, so I was just holding on a little bit. But these are I thought these numbers were the best you were going to get. As of Tuesday when I put them up, UCLA -1 over Oregon. That's Saturday afternoon at the Rose Bowl. I think UCLA is trending in the right direction, Oregon in the wrong direction. And New Mexico State, Hawaii over 59.5. New Mexico State team's getting off a lot of plays and throwing the ball 50-plus times a game. I think Siobhan Cordero, the quarterback, is going to return for Hawaii this week. Either way, I think that's a high-scoring game without much defense. So let's go. UCLA -1 and New Mexico State, Hawaii over 59.5. The last game on the board Saturday night in Honolulu if you need some late night action.
Always a good way to end the night, right? Always a good way. All right, so we do have to get to Major League Baseball. Do you want to do these now? All right, let's get these out of the way for our producer.
Oh, we got one more college football game to talk about briefly for tonight.
And we do have that too. Yeah. Really quickly, a recap from yesterday and then NBA best bets for today. From last night, Humans, as we talked about the 76ers when we talked to laying the 2 points against the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yep.
About a week and a half ago, put it up on Twitter as well. So that was a good win, solid cash. That actually blew them out in the third quarter, didn't need to worry about any numbers. Kings +5 and Kings +7. I've had faith in the number, took 5, went up to 7, went back for more, ultimately win the game outright. So a good start to the NBA season. Maybe the Hawks -2.5 tonight.
Did you have, you had 3 plays yesterday, you got a total of 8. You had 5 plays on Tuesday's 2 games?
Yeah, so we had in-game, we had a hedge there. Let's see, well, then there was Wednesday's 11s. What's it called? Minnesota Timberwolves were in there. And then, of course, -10.5 was one of the losses. Took a little bit on the Lakers -2 or -3. That was a loss.
Okay.
And then Andrew Wiggins, point total. And then, of course, the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
Been a lot going on over the last couple of days for me. Hawks -2.5.
Gotcha. Okay. By the way, I was just looking at the board. That last game on the board Saturday night in college football, New Mexico State, Hawaii,
yeah.
A total was bet up this morning. Like I said, I played that on Monday, Tuesday. I can't remember Monday or Tuesday. A total this morning went up from 59.5 to 62 at some spots.
Wow.
Some sharp money on that over. I think that game's going to fly over. But I said it was 59.5 the past couple days. All right, let's get to one game tonight in college football locally. Thursday night football is not all about the Broncos and the Browns. You got San Jose State and UNLV. Homecoming for the Rebels, who have not won a game in 2 years under Marcus Arroyo. Could this be a historic night? Could the former Oregon offensive coordinator win his first game as UNLV coach? What's great about this game, nobody in the world would give a damn about it, but it kicks off at 8 o'clock Pacific time here in Vegas. So you've got late night action, and this is going to be the only game, one of the few games going on in the world of sports. This is the NBA game late night between the Clippers and the Warriors, right?
Yep.
So San Jose, some spots 5.5-point favorite. We saw this number dip to 3.5. I think the quarterback news here is that Brumfield for UNLV, who's by far the Rebels' most competent quarterback, maybe their only competent quarterback, is doubtful to play tonight, right?
Yep, and like that's I'm kind of surprised by the public sentiment that the Rebels might be pretty live here. I get it. It's more anti-San Jose State than anything else. But the way this offense has looked at times when Brumfield has not been out there has been pretty poor. But this has been, to give Marcus Arroyo credit, right, they're 4-2 against the number this year. The year got off to a pretty poor start, but they have shown some fight and, I guess, some improvement, especially on the defensive end. They've looked much better than they have in years past.
He's an offensive guy.
Well, I know, but I just say he's a CEO and handles everything.
Sort of, you know? An offensive guy.
Right.
I don't want to give him too much credit.
They've been getting a little better was my overall point, though.
Anyway, that's actually a game on the board tonight that typically nobody would care about, but is going to draw a lot of interest. Because a lot of betting interest because it's the only football game going late night tonight. 8 p.m. Pacific kickoff on CBS Sports Network. All right, let's get to baseball quickly. And what do you have? Anything tonight on Braves-Dodgers?
Didn't have anything tonight. I mean, the Dodgers obviously backs against the wall, must win, all the cliches that you want to use. $1.36 favorite here against the Atlanta Braves. I think when you talk about what has been going on with the Dodgers throughout this series, they've been extremely poor with runners in scoring position, but now they continue to get banged up. The injury to Turner, right? They have been somewhat average, as we have talked about throughout the time together, in terms of being facing lefties.
You got no Max Muncy, no Justin Turner. I think the Dodgers are done. Yep. I do think they're done.
It does seem like that would be the case here. And like I said, when you're taking on Max Fried, they've been average across the board against lefties, and that's with Turner available. Right. Turner's not going to be out there. So it's when you look at $1.36, they probably deserve to be favored on the road given who they have up on the mound. But Freed's been an undervalued guy, and this is, I think, a situation in which the Dodgers are in a tough spot, man.
Well, even if the Dodgers win tonight, I think they're done because you take Muncy and Turner out of the lineup. That's just a totally different lineup. You're going back to Atlanta for two games. If the Dodgers can keep the series alive tonight at 3-2, yeah, you could say they still got hope because you go to Atlanta, you're going to have Mad Max and Walker Buehler. And that's you're always going to have a chance with those two guys. But, man, that's those are big losses in the lineup to lose those bats of Muncy and Turner. And tonight, Dodgers, it's a bullpen game.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's hard for me to lay $1.35 or so with a bullpen situation that the Dodgers are going to go with when the Braves are starting a guy like Max Fried, the lefty, who's been so good. So right now you can grab the Braves at like plus I was talking about last night. I thought the Braves had a pretty good pitcher on the mound at plus 205, and the same is the case today, but you get plus 125. Big difference. I just don't think the Dodgers are going to I'd be really surprised they win this series.
Yeah, it's working against them at this point. You can only overcome so many injuries. It's funny. I saw the sentiment that, like, hey, man, this is how hard it is to build a champion. There's so much wear and tear on these guys from the championship run last year.
Don't even give me that. All right, so the Dodgers – picked up two of their best players at the trade deadline, and Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. Right. Okay, so don't cry for the Dodgers.
I will not. I will not. Let's just dive into the pen of extremely talented guys that we have acquired over the last few years. And we only have these guys available? That's a problem.
The Braves lost one of the best players in baseball, Ronald Acuna.
That's right. Yeah. They've still been able to turn this out, man. It's been great.
Jorge Soler's been out.
Wanted to note really quickly in the last minute here, because there are three games today. We didn't really get to the other two. I just mentioned that I had a best bet on the primetime game. But there is an injury note and a line move to be aware of. That would be the Miami Heat, now a 2.5-point favorite with a total of 223.5 over the Milwaukee Bucks. Bucks were actually as high as 3 in some spots, minus 3 this morning. But the news that Drew Holiday is not going to play, coupled with the fact that we know that Bobby Portis and, of course, Dante DiVincenzo still aren't available, has the Heat as a 2.5-point favorite in this spot. So that's a really big swing there, man.
Well, I agree with the swing. I like the Miami Heat a lot. In fact, in the VSiN NBA betting guide, I picked the Heat as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. I think this team's undervalued by some people. JVT, that's three big guns out for the Bucks tonight.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, and that's I talked about it in the Daily Notes today and then the Harvard Handicappers. You can only get away with playing Jordan Nwora and Thanasis Antetokounmpo big minutes off of the bench. You know what I mean? Only greets you so
hey, I don't know what you think. Where do you rank the Heat? Because I like this Miami Heat team a lot.
I think seeding-wise, I had them second. Power rating-wise, I have them as the fifth-best team in the Eastern Conference. So.
We didn't even really get to talk about Luka and Trae Young going head-to-head tonight in Atlanta.
No, but 2.5. I like them there. All right, we're done. See ya.